Great to have you along on the Ideas Network. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you with us today as we explore mindful eating and the science behind it with my guest, Jean Christeller. She's the author of the book, The Joy of Half a Cookie, Using Mindfulness to Lose Weight and End the Struggle with Food. She's also a professor emeritus of psychology at Indiana State University, co-founder of the Center for Mindful Eating, and creator of the NIH-funded mindfulness-based eating awareness training. She's also spent some time in Wisconsin, got her master's in clinical and human psychopsychology here. And Jean, welcome to the program. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Well, I'm delighted to be joining you. Thank you so much.
Well, it's a pleasure. And when I, you know, first looked at the when I looked at the cover of the book, I thought, yeah, I can enjoy a half a cookie, but I could also enjoy the other half right after the first half.
Uh-huh. Right.
but you say in your book, mindfulness, if we're mindful about it, it can be a joy to have a half a cookie.
Well, and I'm not talking about a little cookie either.
No.
But often, indeed, what we do, we might have the cookie after we'd already had a nice lunch, but the whole thing is there, and we just eat it down without really paying attention to it. And so part of this is actually getting more pleasure from smaller amounts of food. That's the bottom line in some ways, that people often become mindless about how much they're eating, or they're choosing, say, a cookie that they'd actually prefer a different kind of cookie, really, and they'd get more pleasure out of it, but they can save the other half for the next day and double that pleasure. So there's the science here is important. Our taste buds actually get tired much more quickly than people think they do.
I was really surprised to read that, and the research on that is quite interesting.
Mm-hmm. I've worked with so many people where they had serious problems with overeating compulsively, and when they really stopped, paid attention, and indeed actually took more pleasure from what they were eating, rather than that usual, I'm just going to stuff it in, they would find, they'd be amazed that they didn't want the rest of a few bites of cheese and crackers, or they didn't want the rest of a snack food, perhaps even something they thought they really, really liked. So the science there is important if we really tune in and experience this.
Yeah, as you point out, the research on that is if you really pay attention to when you're eating, a certain number of mouthfuls and whatever it is you're eating, the taste almost goes away in some ways.
Yes, it's surprising. It's surprising. And it's so different from that, well, when do you know when you've had enough? Well, when my plate is clean.
I know all about that. Uh-huh. I guess probably all of us at one time or another.
Right. And part of the struggle here, I use that in the title of the book, Ending the Struggle with Food, is that so many of us, in fact, are struggling, have struggled with our weight, with feeling like I shouldn't have any of those foods that I actually are my favorites. And we go on a diet, we try to limit, we try to restrict, and frankly, if you do that successfully, and many people do that for the short term, especially this time of year, you will indeed lose weight. But those are the foods that will call you and call you even more often. And getting into a balance where you realize you can actually have some of those foods in smaller amounts is a huge relief. And that's really a lot of the underlying principles on that these diets disconnect us even more from our own body signals about, am I really physically hungry, or am I just bored or stressed? How much am I enjoying this, or am I kicking into guilt right off the bat. So the pleasure I might even get from this half a cookie or something else isn't even there because it's swamped by the guilt. Or when do I know I've had enough? Do I eat to that point where my stomach just can't hold more, or do I eat to the point where I'm just comfortable? Those aren't necessarily going to change years of those mindless habits, but it's a balance that will start you moving in a different direction.
I must say that having read your book, or most of it, I didn't finish it totally, but I got close, and I will finish it. Watching the Green Bay Packers last night, I would normally be eating some chips and a lot more than what I did. Let's put it that way. But I was trying to apply some of the lessons in your book, and actually it worked pretty well.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that, because that's a pretty challenging situation. You had, you've probably done that quite a few times in the past. You've definitely got your attention pulled to something else. So if you were able to do that in that situation, I'm really impressed.
And I walked right by a big box of donuts on my way home.
I hear you.
About a half hour ago, as a matter of fact, and didn't have one.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, I want to re-identify you, Jean. Chris Teller, our guest, she's the author of this new book called The Joy of Half a Cookie, a science-based program to help you forget willpower, guilt, and deprivation, to love every bite, and to tap into your body's fullness signals. You can join in with your own questions, comments, or maybe your own experiences at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, or go ahead and post on our Facebook page. Our Facebook page title, The Larry Mueller Show. And you know what, Gene, while we're at it, let's just take a call. Mike in Milwaukee has a comment. Mike, thank you for calling.
Sir, you said something earlier about the taste going away and that you can move on and not eat the rest of the cookie.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking, I have the exact opposite experience. Mm. The taste actually does linger on, and it keeps reminding me that the other half is there, and it has a, I don't know what the flavor is. It tends to be at the back of the tongue, maybe, where the saltiness is, or maybe this, I don't know, whatever. But then I thought that was the case, and then I saw that there was actual research done by the food industry to have that exact effect, that the taste lingers and it wants you to have more. You can't have just one chip. You got to eat the whole bag kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they have actual science as far as what ingredients they put in. They can be natural. They can might be made up in the laboratory, but it's for that exact purpose, to have you crave for more.
Yes, I hear you. And it does depend on the food, but it also tends to depend on that quality of awareness that you bring to it. So the one challenge I would say is to try this out with really experiencing the full quality, because I've had quite a few people say, when I bring that savoring experience, when I really turn on my inner gourmet, what I start to notice is some of those, like you're saying, processed food tastes actually shift the pleasure that I'm getting from something. Now, having said that, the other thing that plays a role is how physically hungry you are. If you really are physically hungry, you probably aren't going to be satisfied with just a few chips. So there's different parts of this playing a role, but I just invite you to experiment. It's not so hard to do.
And Mike, thank you. Appreciate your call very much. You can join in too. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Let's go back and talk about some of the core concepts of mindful eating, Gene. Let's kind of go back to that beginning.
Sure. Well, as I had mentioned, a core concept is this idea that we can indeed shift from that mindless eating, just putting something in our mouth because it's there, to really exploring the quality of what we're eating. And as I just mentioned, it's sort of about opening up to your inner gourmet, if you will, to see food as something that can both nourish you and bring you pleasure. So the other part is tuning into those experiences that the body tells you when you've perhaps had enough, or are you really hungry? I've had so many people realize that they're not quite sure whether they're physically hungry. They haven't stopped and tuned into how do I know what my body is telling me, or how do I know when I really am full enough? And this can happen surprisingly quickly. We do a practice around fullness where we actually ask people to drink a fairly good-sized bottle of water, because we want to take away the you know, sort of that calorie pressure side of it, and to tune in, drink half of it. You know, I'm talking about that 16, 20-ounce bottle. Drink yeah. about half of it. Notice how your stomach is feeling. We use a 1 to 10 scale. You mentioned that some of my research training was in something called psychophysiology, where we actually help people tune in along a dimension. There's no right or wrong answer. But if you say, you know, my tummy's feeling like a 4 on that scale with half that bottle of water, and now it's feeling like an 8, and it's getting pretty uncomfortable, you start to tune in to what that experience is inside. And you might say, well, you know, if somebody's been overeating for years, that probably takes a long time. Well, I had someone come into one of my programs where they had that problem. They had something we call binge eating disorder, and they would typically, as they realized, eat to a 9 or 10 many times during the week. And she came in and she came in after 1 week of us having done this practice and said, I'm a little disappointed with myself. 2 days ago, I meant to eat to a 5, and I ate to a 7. She sounded really sad. And everyone else in the group looked at her and went, oh, my goodness, in 1 week, you've learned the difference between a 5 and a 7.
That's amazing. That is really amazing. I one of the problems, I think, is that when you're eating, you're often doing something else. Mm-hmm. As long with you, you're talking to somebody. You may be watching television. You may be listening to the radio. You may, you know, there's all kinds of, and so you're not necessarily tuning in on the food.
Right, right. And again, if you decide you want to try to practice some of this, to cultivate this more mindful eating, I would definitely encourage doing that when you don't have when you don't have many distractions like sure. that. But after you begin to tune in and practice, you know, that's normal life that we have those mm-hmm. things going on. And indeed, you may be surprised that you can go back. It may also depend on how much that other distraction is pulling you. I'll share a little of my own personal experience. If I want to have the radio on or read something while I'm eating lunch, for example, I'm by myself, I can stay fairly mindful if it's a music or if I'm reading something like the paper. But if I'm really reading something serious, I can't enjoy my meal. And that's an important thing to recognize. So those are, that that's part of life. And how do you negotiate that? Like you mentioned, watching the Packers. I said I was impressed.
Well, I tell you, when they were behind 11-0 in the first quarter, it was very hard to kind of keep that in my mind. But I was actually able to do it.
Very good.
Jean Christeller, our guest today, she is talking with us about using mindfulness to lose weight or maintain a proper weight, for you. She is the author of The Joy of Half a Cookie, Using Mindfulness to Lose Weight and End the Struggles with Food. What's your experience? What have you had? What kinds of experiences have you had if you've tried to lose weight or maintain a particular weight? Have you used mindfulness, or what else have you used? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Larry Mueller. Breanne Chasseau, our on-air producer today here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're having some fun talking with Jean Christeller about using mindfulness to lose weight, and I certainly invite you to call in with your own questions and comments. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can go ahead and post on our Facebook page. And our Facebook page title is The Larry Mueller Show, and we'd certainly love to hear from you. There's, along with sort of being mindful, there's also the need to have a little bit of knowledge, too, about what you're eating and calories involved to some extent, Jean.
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up because you can be mindful of that or you can be frantic and anxious about it. And one of the things that I try to support is that nutritional information, calories, is just information. I know, and I will share this, that some of this comes from my own struggles. And for years, you know, the word calorie was just, sort of pushed buttons, anxiety buttons, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And that is true for a lot of folks. But if you see that as simply information to help you out, to help you make decisions, actually, when you're talking about tuning into the small quantities, getting comfortable with that, it's often surprising that those don't necessarily carry so much, I'll use the more neutral word, food energy with them, as you might expect. I mentioned we actually invite people to savor, to experience small pieces of cheese and crackers, little piece of cheese on a wheat thin. And after we've done, and people will say, you know, after three or maybe four at the most, they don't want any more. And I'll ask them to estimate how many calories they thought were in those three or four little pieces of cheese. They always overestimate.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yes. And when I say, well, you know what? Actually, there was about 20 calories in each one of those. And they'll go, oh, my goodness. That's okay. I can have that.
Yeah, and it is okay.
Yeah, yeah. And it's so different, though, from sitting down in front of the TV, say, with a whole box of the crackers and the whole log of the cheese and just continuing to chip it off. That's where it is a problem. So to play with that, to check out those food serving labels on the back and the calorie labels, but perhaps realize that the serving size, which happens to be 14 crackers, may actually be more than you actually need.
That would be for sure.
Yeah.
14 is a lot of crackers.
Yeah, it's quite when you're eating them mindfully. When you're just gobbling them down, it may not actually feel like that many.
You know, we had a caller, Luba, in Madison. She can't, she says, she just can't eat a half a cookie. She simply has to have no cookies in the house.
Yes.
What about, she wonders if you have suggestions for her.
Yes, and that is, again, we're talking about not when you're starving, and probably not in the house. So to experiment, you've had, start with something a little less challenging than a cookie, but something that is sweet, something that you do enjoy. Start perhaps if you're at a party and you've had a few different things to nibble on, and you're not hungry anymore, try the cookie when you're not necessarily going to be going back to your own cupboard. I worked with someone where they couldn't keep ice cream in the house without essentially finishing off the pint or even the quart of ice cream once they got started. What they realized is that they could start exploring this when they were out somewhere and they would just get ice cream to go, or they could have it as a dessert, and they could really savor it as part of, in a safer place. And that actually can be helpful. So that's a great question. It might then take 6 months to a year before you could have those cookies sitting in your own house and feel without feeling they were pulling you. But again, I've seen that happen for many people when they started working with this gradually. Over time, they could have more and more. I had one woman who was telling me she couldn't imagine eating only part of a candy bar. And if she had one in her office, she couldn't think of anything else. And it would be there, and she would end up eating the whole thing. And it didn't matter whether she was hungry or not. And after about 6 months, she was astounded. I happened to run into her, and she said, "You know what? I know something's really changed. I forgot I had the candy bar in my desk."
Oh, that is a big change.
Yeah.
Well, how do we get started on this? I mean, what are the first steps?
Well, in the book, it actually walks people through many of the steps that we use in our more structured programs. Part of it is learning some elementary elements of mindfulness. How do you bring your attention where you want to place it? How do you relax a little bit? How do you be in the present with whatever it is you're doing? Tuning into the breath is part of mindfulness. And, you know, I did want to mention this. It just happens that Madison has probably the top group of researchers in the world doing research on mindfulness practice and the value of that in Richard Davidson's lab in the Department of Psychology.
Yes.
And so there's probably some resources around to learn that in your area. But there's also, I have some audio files that are available linked in with the book. And then gradually bring that into your experience with eating. So the first practice we use, and it is also outlined in the book, is mindfully eating four raisins. How do we usually eat raisins?
Handful.
Yeah. And so the practice essentially leads you through eating the first raisin, really appreciating it, smelling it, savoring it, not just swallowing it automatically like we do. One tiny little raisin. The second, you do the second, and then you lead yourself through the third. And then I stop and I ask people, do you want the fourth raisin?
Yeah.
And more often than not always, but more often than not, people go, "Oh my gosh, I don't want the fourth raisin."
You know, a guy at my bike shop where I have my bike repaired from time to time told me one day that, you know, he asked me how far I thought I had to walk off one M&M. And I said, I don't know. And he said, well, go to Camp Randall Stadium, which is our football stadium, and go to the end zone and walk all the way across the field to the other end zone, and you will now have walked off the calorie of one M&M.
Yeah.
And I think about that every single, you know, if you these chocolate chip cookies that have like 10 M&Ms in them. I think I'd have to walk 1,000 yards to get rid of that.
Well, the good news is our body needs fuel. There's no question. Our body needs, I mean, the numbers jump around and different studies come up with different ones, but on average, something like 2,000 calories a day just to function. So that's, I'm giving the good news in balance to that.
And you did say one person talked about looking at calories in a totally different way than normal, and in that, okay, I've got these calories to spend.
Yes, exactly. So if you've got, you know, depending on your height and your weight and your metabolism and your, this is not exact numbers, but you've got, let's just say, you've got, well, I like to use the number 1,800 because that's about, if you're, you know, I sleep about 6 hours a night, but let's say that's about 100 calories per waking hour. And you give a couple of hundred more for while you're asleep and not doing that much, but then the body's still functioning. That's about 100 calories per waking hour. If you think, I've got that much to spend, you know, it's breakfast and I'm not going to eat again until lunch. Well, that's 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
That's what my food needs to get me through. And at lunch, I've got to get to, you know, I like having a snack at 4. Okay, so that's maybe 400. Or I ate a little less at breakfast than that 500, so I'm going to make lunch 500, which isn't an unreasonable amount. You can have a pretty nice lunch for that. And then at 4, I'm going to eat dinner at 7. So guess what? I'm going to let myself have a 300-calorie snack. And I'm not, and then you have your dinner to get you through to when you go to bed. I'm not talking about exact and getting obsessive about it either. It can vary. It can vary from day to day, for sure. I like to use the analogy, since we're talking about spending, the analogy of being on a budget.
Mm-hmm.
Are you on a budget? We're all on a budget.
Yes, certainly am.
Right. Would you go into a store that didn't put price tags on things?
No.
No. Would you buy things without looking at the price tags if they're, given they're there?
Once in a restaurant.
Once.
That was the only time I went there.
Yeah. And so, on the other hand, we don't spend exactly the same amount every day.
Mm-hmm.
We sometimes splurge. But if you splurge every day, you're going to be in trouble.
You're absolutely right about that. Carol in Gutenberg, Iowa, has a comment. So let's go to Carol. Hi, Carol. Thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you, Larry, and to your guests, too. That your lead-in about being on a budget is appropriate here. And this is about more about quality as opposed to quantity of eating food. But one time, somebody walked a group of people through a supermarket and said, imagine, and I was among them, and they said, imagine the outside aisles of the supermarket as being live food and the inside aisles being dead food. And when you think about it, it's like, yeah. You know, who would want to spend their budget on dead food?
Carol, thanks. What do you think of that, Gene?
Well, it's a good one. It's a good way of framing that. Yes, we can take all that nutrition value into account, and definitely keeping in mind the healthier the fruits and vegetables, the as you said, the live food going around the outside, I think it's very sweet. I hadn't heard that before. But again, finding the foods that, using your budget, if you will, on healthier foods. But I tend to go in the eat more, eat less, rather mm-hmm. than the forbidden food mindset, which is that you shouldn't ever have any of this or any of that. Again, in smaller amounts, we're really not talking, unless you truly have an allergy for something, and then you have to take that into account. We're talking about smaller amounts of almost anything is fine to include for variety, for experience, for memories, for pleasure. But to have that balance, as this person contributing said, think more in terms of the balance being definitely around those outside regions.
John in Madison, we turn to you next. Hi, John.
Hey. First of all, I'm enjoying the show immensely. It's almost like listening to my wife talk to me. She went through the program here at the university for meeting this for the elderly people, the older mm-hmm. people working on foods. But one of the things that I did yesterday is during the first football game, I napped. During the second one, I peeled apples and made applesauce with nothing but cinnamon and added to it. And then during Downton Abbey last night, I was cracking black walnuts with my black walnut cracker.
That'll keep you busy.
Well, there's a great cracker, and it's a very nutritious night. But the point is and while I was doing it, Sally would take little slices of a cookie or candy, and she'd say, okay, you got that, that's your reward. And I really think that business of eating less and enjoying it more is certainly a very good way to go. And that's my first-hand experience. And most people, when they're watching a game, it's chips, cheese, and sausage, and beer. And for me, it's watch the game and have a bite of apple now and then if you want to. Apples are a big staple in our diet. And we always split one after lunch, and we might have a half a cookie with it. I'm just saying that I'm just concurring with what our author is doing, and I mm-hmm. can't wait to get her book, and yep. that's going to have to be given to somebody who has bad habits.
And you know, you got a partner there, John, and so that's kind of handy, too. If you say, okay, we'll split this apple, we'll split this cookie. That's a way to do it, AJ.
Uh-huh.
Thank you very much. So he just distracts himself by doing other things.
Well, and that can be helpful. But I'm also hearing that he and his wife have really developed patterns of enjoying food more, but eating less of it, and building healthier patterns into their diets in ways that they really do enjoy rather than they're struggling around.
Yeah. John, thanks so much for calling. Appreciate it. We have Jill on Facebook said that she tries to be mindful of serving sizes. She added that she's just lazy enough that if she portions something out and puts the rest away,
mm-hmm.
she's unlikely to go through the trouble of getting more. She's also trying to teach learning about serving sizes to her children mm-hmm. as well. And what are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. And that's, again, just part of what I call the outer wisdom here, learning what a good balance is. The inner wisdom is tuning into what the body wants and needs. And the outer wisdom is making use in a personal way of all that information that's out there. Like what is a serving size that works for me. But I would also invite people to play with those serving sizes. It may be a little more one day, a little less another day, or sometimes, because I really resonate with what she's saying, I keep a sort of a half cup, just a plastic half cup measuring cup around, and it's really convenient to just tune into that because it can sometimes be misleading. But also tune in that on some days maybe you had more for lunch and you're not as hungry, and that half cup serving, well, the last few bites, you realize your taste buds have sort of dropped off the cliff before those last few bites. You know, leave it. Don't worry about it. And that's just part of, that's the other part of the mindfulness. And so both of those playing together can be really powerful.
Well, this has been most interesting. And we're close to running out of time here, Gene. If sort of as in summary, well, a look at your book is certainly going to be helpful. But if you've got kind of a word or two of wisdom over the last minute and a half, I'd love to hear it.
Well, part of what it was I just said, play with your food.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy. Experiment. Explore. That's part of the downside of the mindlessness, mm-hmm. which is just being on automatic, just doing things because you've always done them that way. And I'm sort of opening the window here to experiment and to try out different possibilities and notice when you're just doing something out of habit, and maybe it's a habit that isn't quite working for you all the time anymore. And that you know, it's, this is very personal, and what somebody else wants to do with it may not work for you, but you can tune into yourself and tune into your own needs. And I love the fact she's doing this with her children. You can share this with your family.
And the other good thing I think about the book is it's not really a diet book, but sort of more of a kind of a lifestyle that you choose.
Absolutely. It's definitely not a diet book. But it's very much about making those small shifts that are perhaps a week from now, 3 months from now, 6 months, or a year from now, you'll realize that you've shifted in your own experience and relationship to eating and to food.
Gene, great pleasure. Thank you so much. I hope we'll have a chance to talk again.
Well, thank you. I really enjoyed this.
Gene Christeller is the author of The Joy of Half a Cookie, and we have a link on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, published by Perigee, and looking forward to visiting with her again at some point about mindful eating. Again, The Joy of Half a Cookie by Gene Christeller. And again, on our Facebook page, we've got links to that particular show. And coming up, we're going to take a look at business planning. Are you interested in getting a business started? Or if you have started one, you're a woman, how'd you do it? We have Natalie McNeil coming up next, who has a book out called The Conquer Kit. I really enjoyed going through it. It's a creative business planner for women entrepreneurs. And that's coming up next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.